Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The cooler space is the number one spot that you run into problems in the future. It's now roughly 1,500 square feet for the main cooler and 450 for the decomp cooler.
You got they're double stacked in there?
Well, no, we've had to go to five high racking. To make that work.
The voice you're hearing there, I know it's not familiar to you. His name is Russell McElroy. He is the architect that is working with the District 1 Medical Examiner to design the new facility, talking there about the very, very limited square footage and space used to store bodies at the current facility in the basement, not basement of Sacred Heart. I mean, it kind of is, it kind of is not anyway. A facility that is completely inadequate to the operation, District 1 Medical Examiner. And then just talking about the increase in capacity for simply storing bodies that they need and will have at the new facility.
This facility is planned for that growth via that method, just like at Sacred Heart. Mm-hmm. It was started out with 24 bodies on carts, and now it's up to about 38 bodies because we put racks.
Correct.
So this cooler would house, I think it's 33 on carts, or maybe 38 on carts.
I'll help you. I can help you there, Dan. It's 35 on carts.
35 on carts.
And then 30 that will be on five-tier racking.
So in the 65 vicinity compared to like the 35 vicinity now, which means, you know, not quite a doubling of base capacity, but, you know, pretty close to it. And, you know, just them talking about this is one of those sort of basic operational details that, you know, it's a challenge to manage the high volume of bodies that the medical examiner's office is supposed to be responsible for in what is now essentially a shared cooler space. And when they talk about the decomp cooler, they're talking about a facility we saw that was completely inaccessible and unusable. And like, you know, backseat middle on the hump would have been an upgrade. So I don't think that that's even a fair thing to include in this number. But the challenge is, you know, if you have space for 60 and you're handling 10 at a time, no problem. But if you have, you know, space for 35 on the gurneys and then another 30 up on, you know, racks, basically. If you're having to shuffle and, you know, play traffic cop as you're moving these around, that's its own logistical problem. And that's what they have now, especially because they're not just using it for themselves, but it's shared space with other entities like Sacred Heart, right?
What that means, folks, is if you have residents that might stay for a longer period of time, they would likely choose to put those on a rack. If they're a quick in and out, they would keep them on a gurney, on a cart. That saves your workman's comp claims, and it also just creates an additional level of safety overall.
Right, because you're not having to move things around, lift them, and just, you know, shuffle, basically, the inventory. I mean, I hate to talk about it in such detached terms, but that's the reality of it. And so here's the thing. There are a couple of key disagreements right now between basically Escambia County and the other three counties, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton, and the medical examiner, who's basically in agreement with Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton. One of those has to do with whether or not to keep the facility at Sacred Heart in any way, shape, or form. The medical examiner's office doesn't want that at all because it doesn't make any sense. I'm giving you my opinion and hers, and the opinion of other experts. Escambia County, meanwhile, is holding on to it like a kid with a half-eaten lollipop that they're scared somebody's going to take away for reasons that nobody can quite explain. Okay, we'll get to more of that in a moment. The other question is the overall size and cost of the new facility. And basically, they had, you know, sort of planned to do a Cadillac. And then they said, well, that is way too expensive. Can you not do, you know, like just an ordinary sedan? Well, they came back with a smaller, less expensive version of that. The challenge is that the more you whittle away at the size, scope, and capacity of the new facility, the more you put yourself in a position where you're going to build it, and then as soon as you move in, because of growth and the number of people that live in this area and therefore die in this area, you're just basically going to have to re-expand it again. And there's no point in putting, you know, $18 million into a new facility in order to have to build another $10 million. And, of course, once you mobilize, remobilize, change, you're going to have to cost more than if you just build it right the first time.
Do you mind if I elaborate a little bit on the expansion and what happens when we go to build a facility?
Sure.
If we build it too small. So we've done 165 laboratories or so that deal with forensic science and medical examiner facilities. And we were doing the Nebraska State Police facility. And they took the approach that if it wasn't needed right now, then let's just not do it. And we encourage them not to take that approach. Because what happens is literally as soon as you move in, potentially you may be obsolete without the opportunity to even add new staff, and you're right back where you are today, just in a newer building.
So build it for the future with the capacity that you're going to need for the next, 20, 25 years, as long as this facility is going to last, instead of building just barely enough to scrape by at current levels. And then in 5 years, you're jammed up again. Like, there's no point in doing it that way. But again, the basic problem you have here, and I'm trying my best, whenever we talk about this, to remedy this problem, is it's like so many other things that government does. You don't personally encounter the problems of an overburdened, underfunded, inadequately facilitated, I know it's not a word, medical examiner. Unless you're like a family member of a decedent, and then you might experience some of this. It's an invisible problem to you, but it's a problem that impacts on their ability to process corpses, their ability to find justice for the deceased, their ability to even conduct the operations of, testifying appropriately. And they are key witnesses in, every homicide trial here in, this 4-county area. And the problem is you don't see it when the counties don't do their job, or in this case, when Escambia County doesn't do its job. You don't see the problem. It's invisible to you. It's kind of like when we don't properly fund, building jail space and hiring COs and, that kind of stuff. You don't see that problem because you don't deal with these issues. But you do see the pothole on the road, okay? And because you see the pothole in the road, there is a natural motivation for, the county to basically maintain the roads, because you as a citizen, if you have to drive over potholes enough, you start calling. When enough people start calling, they start looking dumb. They don't want to look dumb. They don't want to feel dumb. So they fund resurfacing. Still not adequately. Escambia County still doesn't do that adequately either. But at least there's kind of a natural check on their misbehavior. When it comes to the medical examiner's facility and various elements connected to it, it's hard to wrap your brain around why this is an important thing. And that's why I've been trying to, explain this and why we went and did the tour, so you could see for yourself, that this is kind of important, because several of the commissioners don't get it. They just don't get it. And when you've got a guy here who says, we've built 165 facilities, including, for the state police in another state. And I'm just telling you, build as much as you're really going to need in the future. And by the way, don't try and do it in two places. It's crazy talk to try to do two different operations for one office.
Dan, it's always the goal of a facility, if they are divided like that, to try to come back together into a single facility. The inefficiencies of being in separate places, even like you are now with your autopsy in one place and your office in another, it is almost always the case across all 50 states where we've done these, where they're trying to bring them back into a single facility.
So stop it. Stop it. Now, Robert Bender, the commissioner for District 4, is put in a bit of an awkward position, okay? Because I know Robert. Robert's a smart guy. He's a very capable guy. I trust Robert. He does a good job, okay? Sometimes he gets a bad rep, but I disagree with those criticisms. Robert is in the awkward position of having to go, in this case, last week to the meeting at the Domes Board. And, he's not the official representative, Eric Gilmore is, but somebody from the county commission needed to be there to try to, see if we can't make some progress on this. And the problem he's got is he's representing Barry, Burgosh, and May, arguably, who will always vote however Stephen Barry says on issues that aren't related to his particular concerns. And so the three of them, including all of the pissing match over the letters that were, you know, written at the behest of Stephen Barry and the Smokies-filled room and the Burgosh blog and the allegations against Deanna Oleskine, all that crap, okay? The backdrop is that. So somebody's got to go be an adult and try to advance this conversation. None of them can go. I mean, can you imagine Stephen Barry's there with, you know, Dan Shebler and Deanna Oleskine, who, you know, he helped slander? I mean, it just doesn't work. So Bender is there representing the position of the board. And the position of the board is they want to keep Sacred Heart open. And they want to put, you know, $4 million or so into the Sacred Heart facility, a private institution for which they will get what benefit? Not clear. But he's there trying to say, well, look, you know, I can't make this happen. And so my board says this. And so he's trying to ask questions and create a situation where the medical examiner would be willing to try the two-facility approach. And what Dan and Deanna Oleskine and the architect are trying to tell him is, boy, that don't make no sense. Nobody does it this way on purpose. It's silly because you're going to have, you know, split staffing. You're going to have to duplicate technology and equipment like the Lodox that allows them to quickly x-ray all the bodies. There's a whole bunch of reasons why that doesn't make any sense, and there's no real advantage to it. The more they talk about it, the less it makes sense. But again, Bender's kind of stuck, because even, and I don't know exactly where he lies on this scale, you know, if he wants the second. I think he also kind of thinks there's a value to a second facility, but I know he represents a board that thinks that, although Mike Kohler, who's actually the expert in this area, says, boys, y'all are being dumb about this, but they won't hear it because they don't want to be told that they're wrong.
The operational question that Commissioner Bender raises, and you introduce opportunity for error, you introduce confusion where there doesn't need to be any, you introduce operational inefficiency by operating in multiple spaces with a limited staff and limited doctors, with I don't know what benefit.
Exactly. I don't know what benefit. If you couldn't understand, there was a, you know, partially a Zoom meeting and the audio was not particularly great, but you introduce inefficiencies, you have security issues, you have duplication of staff, duplication of machinery. You know, how exactly are you going to do this? Oh, by the way, did you know we're already very understaffed? So the notion that somehow we're at full with our number of doctors, we're not. We're just bringing one more on next month and that'll bring us to three, should be five. You know, and then you're going to split off some of that staff to sometimes come over to Sacred Heart and do their work and then sometimes go back. And, you know, again, I think Bender's trying to raise sort of what seem like reasonable questions. Well, can't you just do the, you know, the autopsy lights or, you know, the sort of low level investigations here and do the big ones at the Avalon complex when that gets built? And Deanna Oleskine's like, well, how do you know which one it is?
Yeah. Hello.
How do you know which one it is until you do it? You can't know until, well, they come in looking like, well, it might not be. It comes in looking like a suicide. Well, it might not be. It just, it's the kind of things that a novice asks that are not unreasonable to ask, maybe, but then an expert who actually works in this field, and she said this the other day, is, well, come watch me, sir. You know, come see what we do. And you will not say these dumb things anymore.
Can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
When we were there, did any of those bodies look, I don't know, murdered to you?
I don't know.
That's,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You can't tell.
Yeah, you can't tell.
And even ones that come in looking one way, you can't tell. It just...
Sorry.
They're just... No, you're exactly right. The problem is, especially for commissioners who haven't seen in operation, because as we've been told, none of them have come and watched them do the work. Only two of them, Burgosh and Bender, have been there when they weren't doing it. Now, I think Bender might have gone to one somewhere else in another county and watched some actual operations, you know, doing autopsies. It's not the same as seeing the problems in this facility with this staff and the volume of bodies they do, right? So anyway, just, it's frustrating. So where are we at right now? Like, where things actually stand? The three other counties are at this point. The argument is over whether they proceed without Escambia County and then sue Escambia County is the question, which none of them want to do. But that's how bad it's gotten with Escambia County not participating in this conversation properly. So they're going to try to meet again with Escambia County, like the medical examiners and Escambia County is going to try to meet and see if we can hash some of this out and get them to see the light. Because otherwise, basically, they're going to have to pay twice as much per autopsy because only three counties are funding a facility for a little bit more than half of the total autopsies that are done in the four county district. It's just... It's infuriating. And I understand why Dr. Oleski is mad about this. I understand. On top of all of the other nonsense that had nothing to do with any of this except for people's egos got hurt. 525 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing full effect. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think everyone wants Bill Newsom. He wrote ahead for us without us game beginning. I think we're okay to go ahead with that, but I'm going to have a rougher time with that because it's not in the DNA for us to go against other counties or sue other counties. And whether we're suing them directly or indirectly funding it, it's harder sell.
All right, so backdrop. This is Craig Coffey. He is the chair, I guess chair is the right term, of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Board. That is the four-county board that tries to get together and oversee the operation of the District 1 Medical Examiner, who is an employee of the group. Okay, and so he's saying, look, you know, this is all about the facility, and this is all about if Escambia doesn't want to come along and fund it, and if they want to, you know, if Escambia County wants to hold its own marbles and, you know, work out a Sacred Heart, and then what happens? Well, the then what is we sue them. So you might have a lawsuit from basically the District 1 Medical Board, Medical Examiner's Board, which is Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton in this case, suing Escambia County to make them pay for funding an agency that, you know, under state statute, they're supposed to fund. And he's like, well, we don't really want to sue them, but that's kind of where we're at because the alternative is if we don't sue them, then the cost of the facility is what it is. And if we have 53% of the autopsies in these other three counties, that means that the price per autopsy doubles if Escambia doesn't play along.
If we don't sue or bring them on board, then we're saying to our taxpayers, we're going to pay double, not double, but you know what I'm saying? We're all going to pay double because we're too scared to sue the Escambia County, where you don't want to. Or we're going to say, no, we aren't too scared, and then we don't want bad blood between us.
So 50 per autopsy if Escambia County participates, 1,600 per autopsy if Escambia County does not participate. So that's the and what do we do now conversation. And they're trying to figure out, you know, how can we get Escambia County to stop being problematic? I will say it very gently, problematic. The big issues here have to do with you know, how much space do they have to handle the bodies? Is the space secure? And the answer is right now, no and no. And the space is a mess. And we've talked about this before. But you still have this argument by the Escambia County Commission that they're trying to keep a facility here in Escambia County and create a two-facility operation. And Robert Bender, who is not the official representative to the DOMS board, it's Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety, but Robert went because he figured, look, I need to be a part of this and see if we can't move the ball a little bit. And in the process, just got into a big fighting match with Dan Shebler, the operations manager, and Dan Oleski, the medical examiner, because he's representing a board that has taken what I consider to be an unreasonable position. We've always had it in Escambia County. Why can't we keep it in Escambia County? Well, because that, you know, you've enjoyed the benefit of that for a long time, but there's not really a benefit to it. There's not really an advantage to having a two-facility operation, and there's no real advantage to having it in Escambia County. But he's got Stephen Berry and Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May, who are voting at least three, and including him to a degree, to try to keep it that way. And, of course, we know the backdrop with all of the letters and the what I consider to be defamatory letters and Stephen Berry's kind of concocting of these letters along with Jeff Bergosh then publishing them and this whole story to discredit Deanna Oleski because she had the audacity to bring her employees down and complain to them at their board meeting, hey, get your butts in gear and get this fixed. You're messing up my operation, making it hard for me to do my job that you're statutorily obligated to do. Okay, that's backdrop. Okay, backdrop. So the DOMS board meeting last week, they're having this conversation about two facilities versus one. About half of the autopsies currently come from Escambia, a little less, like 47%. And Bender's argument is, you're supposed to have like five teams and five doctors. Why can't you just task one or two of those teams to be at the Sacred Heart facility, and then the other three or four can operate out of the new facility, and then everybody's happy?
If Escambia is 47% of the workload, and you're going to have how many teams of doctors and things like that? I mean, how many teams of doctors handle the 100%?
Well, it takes five.
So 47% stays at Sacred, and it's not even going to be 47. It's going to be some lower amount. Because as I said, I know the full autopsies and everything that's still going to be going to the new facility. So either, as I said, just one team
working a full load at sacred, or if it's, two, which would be 40% roughly. And that's where the discussion is that, I mean, how can you not keep one team busy? Where's the inefficiencies?
Come watch me work. No. I'll show it to you. I'll show you the inefficiencies.
Right. My dad was a doctor. Okay. So he would go to a satellite office and they'd pay him to go up there and he does the case. But that's what I'm saying.
There's not enough doctors. You see the problem? There are not enough doctors. There's not enough forensic pathologists. And by the way, trying to recruit one now, real hard.
Right.
So So
how am I going to staff two sites when I don't have the docs?
But
I need a doctor to do the autopsy.
We've got five doctors in the budget.
Correct.
We have two doctors here.
And I understand that. Okay. So there would be some times where things don't work. But if you're fully staffed, you can't have one staff that's operating out of Sacred Heart each day of the week.
It is an absurd request.
That is an absurd request. And the point there is, first of all, we don't have five doctors. We have two and one more coming on board soon. And hopefully on an H-1B visa from Canada through his doctor in Poland or something. Anyway, he's coming in next month. But what she's saying is, come watch me work. You think this is simple and makes sense because your daddy was a doctor. You know, like, it's just, you know, well, I knew a guy who owned a restaurant one time. Does that qualify you to run like an international chain of restaurants? Like, that's kind of the comparison here. And I think Robert Bender is generally a very reasonable guy. I think he usually tries to have the best of the situation. He's trying to make this work. But this is a case where the experts keep telling you this doesn't work. Stop trying to make your picture of this two-facility operation make sense. That's not going to make sense. We'll come back to this in a second. For example, some of the inefficiencies that would be created by having a two-facility operation, even with one or two doctors.
I got to duplicate a low dox. I got to have extra equipment. I have to have everything in two different places. I got to take the tox back to the other side. Then I got to figure out where I'm going to put my evidence that the law enforcement can come pick up. They don't know where to go. Oh, is it sacred? I don't know where the evidence is. Do I bring it back with me? Or am I transporting it back in my vehicle?
I thought all those cases would go to your new facility.
He's talking about all Scambia County
cases. No, I've never seen that.
47% of all
cases. I know, that's what I'm saying, but I'm saying... So what of the 47%, how much are, that's what
it
I'm
is,
saying.
It is cheaper to for you to pay for them to go back to Escambia County than to run a separate team.
It is going to cost you.
I'm representing my board here. Okay.
I'm going to be a fiscal conservative for you.
So I understand that.
Yeah. What she at one point proposed is, well, if it's so important for you to have these bodies located at the terminal, you know, at Santa Rosa or at Sacred Heart. How about you just pay a transport fee? Or pay somebody to bring them back, you know, when they're needed to be. It'd be like $35,000 a year versus $700,000 a year to actually operate a second facility. You know, why not do that? Well, because, again, it's, I think, for particularly for Stephen Barry at this point, it's a pissing contest, and he just wants to make sure that he wins. Why he's so attached to the Sacred Heart solution, I don't know, but he is.
Okay, if 10 bodies came in Escambia County last night, could the doctor... whoever's got that week, they got the Sacred Heart. Could they show up there and the tech show up there? They do whatever autopsies are there. These aren't the big ones. These are not the ones that you need for criminology. And
how are you supposed to know that?
Well, I've
people that come in with ligature furrows, there are drug overdoses. Well, that's a homicide.
But it came in as an overdose.
But I don't have a low dox there because we moved the low dox.
Okay, I got to translate a little bit here. But what they're saying, what Craig Coffey is saying, and what Robert Bender is trying to say is, well, you can do like the easy autopsies at Sacred Heart and you can do the hard autopsies at Avalon. And she's like, how do I know that when they come in? Well, in order to know that, you've got to look at them. You've got to do the low dox x-ray. That's the quick x-ray, which means that now you got to have two of those machines. They're very expensive machines. You got to have a team to do that intake and separation. That's got to be doctors. You've got to have photographers. You can't know just first glance which kind of autopsy it's even going to be. That's the point. That's why you have it all in one place, so that you have all the resources necessary to handle whatever you discover in the course of intaking that body.
Oh, wait, now I got to do this tomorrow? Okay, so then now the family's pissed at me because now I have to take them out of the cooler and transport them over there. And the funeral home's like, but we were supposed to have services today. And I get yelled at.
Because it's a delay in, well, we got them here, now we got to move them there. And where did they get moved to, and where are they now? We have trouble finding them now, let alone if we got two different facilities. And I think Dan Schebler kind of summarized this the best.
There are costs to it, and I haven't yet heard What's the benefit?
Okay.
Of any kind.
Yeah, exactly. There are major inefficiencies, costs, chain of custody for bodies, evidence, even allegations of sometimes theft of valuables and things on bodies because of multiple people sharing access to this cooler in Sacred Heart. All of this for what benefit? Like to keep that separate facility open? That was it's going to take like $4 million to refurbish that facility so that then what? Sacred Heart has a better facility? How does that serve District 1 Medical Examiner's Office? Now, Bender's argument is, well, we have more capacity if we do a smaller facility on Avalon and we do Sacred Heart, then we can spend a bunch of money on two facilities, then we can have two facilities. That's a lot. And they're trying to make the point that, no, the inefficiency outweighs that. And this is the one. This is like when I was listening to this two-hour meeting the other day, this was the one piece that stood out for me. Okay, I told you that Mike Kohler, the District 2 Escambia County Commissioner, he's an expert in this area. He says it's crazy to operate two sites. Deanna Oleski and Dan Schultz, it's crazy to operate two sites. The other three counties get that it's crazy to operate two sites. Russell McElroy, who is the architect who has built over 160 of these around the country, like he's the guy for doing this.
Dan, it's always the goal of a facility if they are divided like that to try to come back together into a single facility. The inefficiencies of being in separate places, even like you are now with your autopsy in one place and your office in another, it is almost always the case across all 50 states where we've done these, where they're trying to bring them back into a single facility.
It doesn't make sense to do it this way. Listen to the experts and get off your, you know, hurt perch. And the other thing is, quite frankly, Escambia is used to being kind of the big dog in this stuff, and they're used to having their way, and they're used to having it here in Escambia County. And they feel like, well, what's in it for us? Robert Bender actually said, well, what's in it for us if it moves? What's in it for you is that's the solution that makes sense. And the only reason that you can't do it that way is because our commissioners, three of them, are too stubborn or bullheaded or dumb to see it because they just want to have their way. 437-1620. So again, we're either headed to Escambia changes its mind and we do the right thing, build it on Avalon, or they're not going to play and then we're building two facilities. Maybe we're trying to hire a different medical examiner in the process for at least Escambia County. Maybe there's a lawsuit because the other three counties are going to sue Escambia if all that happens and they don't participate in the funding. This is a hot mess unless, again, Stephen Barry and Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May wake up and realize, they need to repent. I don't know how else to tell it to you. That's kind of the way it goes. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Is this, again, not on the agenda?
This is at the the open forum section of the Escambia County Board of County Commissioners meeting from last Thursday. Keith Bowe, and, every once in a while, the public gets a hold of an item and starts thinking about it and realizes, this is kind of important. Maybe y'all ought to pay attention to this and come up with a solution.
We've all heard about the meeting at Smokey's Restaurant in order to request letters sent from the funeral directors to support the defiance of the project, or the splitting of the project, or anything but advancing the project that I can see. There's even a video out from Andrew McKay taking a tour of the dilapidated facilities showing how poor the conditions are in the morgue. They can't be sanitary. There's got to be cross-contamination under those conditions.
And so what is the Escambia? Because Escambia is the hiccup. Escambia is the problem. They are the roadblock right now, trying to figure it out. You got Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton are all on board. Let's build a facility. Let's do it. Let's solve this problem. Let's fund it. Let's get it done with. And Escambia is like, man, yeah, I just don't think we're going to do it that way because we don't like it. We like it where it is in this terrible facility that is outdated, in need of $4 million of renovations to even be functional, really. Why don't you have two facilities? Why don't you split your staff? Why don't you create more security problems? Why don't you do all of these things that don't make sense to anybody but the three of us, or maybe the four of us with Robert Bender thrown in, Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May and Stephen Barry, who just kind of have this attachment notion that it's got to be in Escambia County, despite what all the experts, including Mike Kohler, who actually is a nurse and has done autopsies and understands and has seen the facility in operation, which none of them have. They've two of them have seen it. Two of them have not seen it at all and don't know what they're talking about, but still they're the experts, right?
Keith, since you're still here, I'm just going to highlight this real quick because I do think we need to talk about the medical examiner's office. I asked Wes to get it on and it shortly, so we need to hash that out and get it out in the open and just see where one falls on that.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd stop canceling all the committees of the whole meetings, maybe you could actually have a meaningful conversation like this. So the actual medical examiner's office board, the Domes board, had a meeting last week and kind of been talking about this throughout the morning. In that meeting, they hashed out a lot of stuff. I'm not sure that they exactly came to any good conclusions, but you basically have Escambia and, you know, of course, Stephen Barry cannot show up to this meeting because, you know, he was involved in that Smokies-filled room where, the, you know, the letters got fabricated or exaggerated or whatever, however you want to describe it, that wound up, in my opinion, defaming Deanna Oleski, the medical examiner. And then they backed off with some of those letters. And, of course, we talked about that quite a bit on the show. And, you know, Jeff Bergosh published those letters before that. And so, you know, he's kind of involved in all this. Lumen can't, none of the three of them can show up, you know. So they sent Robert Bender. I mean, Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety. He's there as a representative officially, but, you know, Robert shows up and he's trying to explain it to him. And he says, look, we just need to stay in Escambia County. We need something out of this deal because we're losing our facility. And they're basically like, I don't understand the advantage here. I don't get why you're so attached to this. Well, a lot of theories about that, but this fighting over whether to have a second facility or not has become the major sticking point. The three commissioners and Robert Bender, they want to have it, you know, they want to have an Escambia County facility. And Deanna Oleski says this doesn't make any sense.
I got to duplicate a low docs. I got to have extra equipment. I have to have everything in two different places. I got to take the talks back to the other side. Then I got to figure out where I'm going to put my evidence to, that the law enforcement can come pick up. They don't know where to go. Oh, is it sacred? I don't know where the evidence is. Did I bring it back with me? Or am I transporting it back in my vehicle?
I thought those cases would go to your new facility.
He's talking about all Escambia County cases.
I've never seen that.
47% of all
I know, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, so what of the 47%, how much are...
It is cheaper to for you to pay for them to go back to Escambia County than to run a separate team.
It's going to cost you.
Again, I'm representing my board here. Okay?
I'm going to be a fiscal conservative for you.
So I understand
what she's saying. So what Commissioner Bender and the board seem to be wanting is like a distribution point for the bodies in Escambia County. And she's like, why don't you just hire somebody to drive the bodies back from Avalon if that 8 minutes extra time or 3 minutes extra time. And by the way, funeral homes that operate out of the north end of Escambia County, it's actually more convenient for them to go to Avalon, the proposed site of this new facility. And most of these funeral homes operate across several counties, so it's not like they're only in Escambia County, parochially located right around Sacred Heart or something. So she says, why don't you just pay somebody $35,000 a year to transport the bodies? That's better than the $700,000 it's going to cost us to extra staff a second facility that is in terrible condition anyway, that has got security issues because everybody has access to this morgue anyway. It's bizarre. You know, they're going into a medical professional's environment and they're trying to say, well, you don't really need to do this and this and this. You can run your business a different way. And she's like, the hell I can. I mean, you're asking me to do dumb stuff. We'll come back to this in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays right now. Looks like Highway 98 doing just fine. No problems from Navarre into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. And the same thing with 90. Looks like everything's moving just fine at posted speeds. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So thanks so much, Candy. So basically, you know, Commissioner Bender says, like, why can't we do the low quality or the low need, low acuity autopsies at Sacred and do the high acuity ones at Avalon? She's like, well, how do we know the difference? They don't come with a pre-made tag that tells you which one. You know, like the sorting is a big part of the process. And so you need to have this low docs machine that does the quick scans, and you need to have photographers, and you need to have the investigators. And, you know, you need to, like, you have all of these inefficiencies in creating it this way. And there's nobody who's an expert in this field that says, no, you know, the right way to do this is to have two facilities. Russell McElroy is the architect that's helping design the facility. He's built over 160 of them around the country.
Dan, it's always the goal of a facility, if they are divided like that, to try to come back together into a single facility. the inefficiencies of being in separate places, even like you are now with your autopsy in one place and your office in another. It is almost always the case across all 50 states where we've done these, where they're trying to bring them back into a single facility.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to aim at having two facilities split staff and the responsibilities. Brad Baker, by the way, very impressed me in this meeting. Several of his suggestions, things he's trying to raise reasonable points and be a peacemaker all at the same time.
And my question to you would be, why would you want to invest $4 million in Sacred that's not a... I mean, that's just the help Sacred if they ever kick us out or you out. You know what I mean? There's no way to get that $4 million back. Why would you not want to invest in it a little bit more and have a new facility that lasts 30? How long has Sacred Heart lasted?
25 years.
25, 30 years.
Why do you want to put $4 million into an ancient facility that won't be right even then instead of putting a little more than that to put your share up for the great facility that will be what all three counties and what really Escambia want to have done so that the ME can do her job? Like, what is the hang up here? He's exactly right about that. Now, one thing I thought was kind of interesting is for a little bit of historical context, Dan Schebler pointed out, this seems to be a long, like, this makes me wonder if maybe Florida just is not doing this right, because this squabbling of the counties is apparently not new. It's a longstanding problem.
There's a history here in District 1 that I think you guys are all aware
right. Cool. Of aspects of
it. And it's varied. Sometimes it's been Okaloosa County. Sometimes it's been Santa Rosa County. Sometimes it's been Escambia. Rarely it's been Walton County.
Oh, come on.
But they don't have any, they have very few cases.
Yeah.
But we're not going to pay. That's been a consistent theme from the counties to the medical examiners over the last 50 years.
Over 50 years. And by the way, we're at the verge of lawsuit time now. Like, if Escambia doesn't help fund the facility, what they're talking about, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Walton is, well, then we got to sue Escambia to get the money. And then we're suing a fellow county, which we don't want to do, or we're telling our taxpayers that they're going to have to pay double per autopsy because we're not getting any funding from Escambia County. It's a lose-lose situation for us. Even if we win, it's bad.
That's too much. We're not going to pay. They even went so far twice from what research, newspaper research, and media research is.
Yeah, it sounds like it's...
The Medical Examiner Commission has come and met here in this district to stress how important it is. It's gotten to the point where previous district medical examiners said, well, it's not going to do those Santa Rosa County cases if you don't pay the fee that's necessary to provide the service. Or we're not going to do the... I think it was... brought to Escambia County at one point in time by a medical examiner. We're just not going to do the service. If you don't pay us for the service, we can't provide the service.
So this is not apparently new, and I think it might be a byproduct of the very structure of this deal, but we can't really fix that structure right now. Instead, we've got this problem in front of us. And the problem is that you got 3.5, I'll say, Escambia County commissioners who are just like heels dug in, unwilling to move on doing what makes sense across the whole four county area. And the why, there's a lot of debate over the why. What basically Brad Baker came up with is, can we not just all get together and talk a little bit? Or can maybe the medical examiner's representatives can get together with Escambia in some kind of a meeting and figure this out? Would you be willing to try two facilities and see how it goes? He came up with that as an idea. You know, or at the very least, can you present, you know, actual cost to run two facilities versus the proposed cost? And then at least Escambia can say yes and no to an actual list of what it would take instead of all the objections. But I will tell you, there's another concern here. You might not be thinking about this.
There is another issue we haven't even talked about, and that's her potentially applying other places. That has been discussed.
What if she leaves?
If she does leave us, we start fresh with a new medical examiner. But if she doesn't leave us, they do want some kind of commitment that we're going to give it a college try to make it work.
That's Craig Coffey. He's the director of the board. He's the chairman of the board. He's the associate. I think he's the assistant county administrator in Okaloosa, if I remember correctly. But by the way, medical examiners are in massive demand. You know, terrible, terrible demand. So it's not like you can just go out and get. In fact, she's apparently even looking into the possibility of being the District 2 and District 1 medical examiner, like overseeing both districts. I don't know how that would work, but apparently it's a possibility. So just I don't know how to get you guys to come to Jesus. You know, figure this out. It's your job to do this. I know it's not sexy, but it is important. And by the way, again, the end result problem here is you know, you're potentially compromising legal cases against homicide victims, you know, murderers. You're potentially complicating things for families who are already struggling with this. And you're trying to force them by your negligence to do a job in terrible circumstances. I think basically because of ego. I think basically ego is the issue here, which is a terrible reason to do anything.